Chewing gum for friends is fun. So is talking about box office results. We're going to do all that and more next on Box Office Breakdown.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Amy Cassandra and desperate fear for her ears.
I need to hear things, but I don't want to hear that.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. This is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we like to
prognosticate.
About the box office that lie ahead. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
And my name's Carrie Lane.
And my name's Amy Cassandra Martinez.
What's up? It's Neil Plumley.
And of course, making us look good and sound even better is our boy Anthony in the booth.
Making you sound a little too good, Frank.
I second that.
Yeah, please.
For those of you at home, he was torturing us with that during the sound check, and we hate him for it.
Delightful. As always, folks, you know what you can do? You can like us on Facebook. You can give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. While you're there, give it a thumbs up, or two, or three, or four, as many as you can muster up. And, of course, feel free to hop in the chat, share your thoughts about anything. And if you're watching after we stream live, Carrie, what can they do?
You can all comment down below, and you're going to want to because there's going to be stuff we're going to give away.
Oh, man.
Ooh. Ready, and it's connected to Ready Player One. And don't worry, no spoilers. So no spoilers for those.
Of course not.
Don't worry, guys.
Well, I'm going to spoil the hell out of
don't it. Don't worry, Jonathan Peck in the chat. That he said he didn't want any spoilers.
I understand. I feel you because I wrote a review on it, and I'm like, nope, there are certain things that were great because it was a surprise. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, no, I don't want to ruin that for you, so don't worry.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, luckily I don't accept that. Yep. If you've come to hear about the movie, then you got to get, spoiler alert. Feel free to tune in next week if you want to hear your thoughts about the movie.
Stop
it. Carrie's going to be giving away those 3 keys that she's wearing around her neck.
No, they are mine.
Nope, she's giving them away. That's when she came in. She was like, super excited about giving those away to one lucky viewer. So that was so kind of you.
That's very nice.
That is incredibly nice.
I'll be kind by letting you know where you can go buy those. No, there's something else too.
Oh, interesting. I noticed you didn't offer to buy us any of those. But that's cool. I mean, whatever, Carrie. All right, so folks, we're going to hop right into this week's past box office results. And of course, coming in at number one, right there on the leaderboard, Ready Player One. Now, of course, I think of the four of us here, the person that was the resident expert of Ready Player One, has already done another podcast sharing his well-earned, well-founded knowledge about the property. Neil Plumley, what did you think?
I'll tell you, Frank. Here's what I thought.
Oh, man. Here we go. This hot take.
That movie was a blast.
Wow.
Now, that isn't to say that it's perfect at all. There's a lot of things that I was cringing at, as like the dialogue between characters. Some of the ways that the film moved forward from section to section was a little rambunctious. I understand that it's a tall order, getting all of that into a book, all of that from a book into a movie, rather. I was actually thinking about it today, about how they have some, like you see in the trailer, there's some voiceover. That happens, what would you call that, narration?
Sure.
From the main character, he's just trying to, like, expo the situation for everyone, make it a little bit easier. And that sort of just, like, was around in the beginning and then just kind of, you know, went away. And I was thinking, like, well, that didn't really, actually, it didn't really just go away, it just sort of, like, stopped. So it was like, okay, well, that wasn't very graceful, I guess. But all in all, like, the first... What is it like? Maybe 10 minutes in the movie with like the first challenge that you see, blew my mind apart. That was so much fun, and what made it even more fun is how there was like a lack of score during that part, so it was just all just action like the whole time without any distractions to it, even though it was basically just all distraction.
Well, as somebody who loved the book, what, is there something that you wish had been adapted differently or something that was left out that you wish had been put in?
Yes. Yes, there's a few things. Things I can't quite talk about here in case people have read the book and also have not seen the movie yet. I'll say this. There's some things that happen with with one of the climactic situations near the end of the movie that could have been a little bit better. And then there's also around like the middle of the movie, there's a big thing happens with one of the characters that just did not happen at all, and they just sort of like move past it.
Yes.
Yeah.
From what I think.
They just sort of.
They're like, nope.
They just imagine that it didn't happen, and they revise the story accordingly. That being said, who played James Halliday? Was it Mark Rylance? Is that his name?
Yeah. I really liked him.
That was fantastic.
He was so good.
He was so good. I love him. That was, it's almost.
He's wonderfully weird, which he should be.
It was like the perfect amount of awkwardness.
Yes.
Yeah, he played like, because in the book they don't really, they sort of say that Halliday was sort of like disconnected from humanity.
Yeah, he was a shut-in and everything.
Yeah, but they didn't really,
he
like...
He couldn't communicate well.
Yeah, but in the book, the only thing you get from him, as far as, like, talking, is when he's as Agnorak in his like, goodbye video, in his video will that he puts out to the world after he dies. So this was so cool, because we never really got a chance to see him, like, talk to people and interact with people. And just that, like, that sheepish sort of, like, tick that he kept having, and I was like, this is amazing. You're so good at this. Man, he's a good actor. I really liked, what was it, Samantha Cooke, is that her name? Who played Artemis?
From Thoroughbreds.
Yeah. She was really good. Her direction, IRL, was a bit weird. As, like, I don't think Steven really knew how he wanted her to act in the real world. But her as Artemis was dope. I also peeked that they made her eyes a little bit bigger for that little emotional entry to the soul context for everybody, so that they would identify with her a little bit more. But also, her performance capture was insane. I thought that like the expressions on her face were all like right there, and I was like, oh,
because then when you see the real life, you're like, yes,
yeah. Like you understand that it's her. So like, bravo to that. Visually, it's stunning. Nostalgically, it's stunning. It was a blast. It's not, and like I said, it's not at all a perfect movie, at all. There's definitely a lot of things that I would like to change about it, but I had a lot of fun, and I think it's about as good as we're going to get as far as an adaptation goes.
Amy, how about you?
Yeah, I really liked all the Easter eggs,
and you haven't read it, so
I haven't read it, and I think they did a really good job describing the world to people that don't know it. But yeah, all the Easter eggs were really fun, and I think that it made it way more enjoyable for us to watch, because it's like, instead of flipping, I mean, I'm sure it was really fun, but instead of like flipping and being like, oh my gosh, reference that I don't want to say, it was like, oh my god, that's so cool. So I think that they did a really good job bringing that to life. Yeah, I agree. There are a few things that I'm like, oh, I would have just changed this one thing, not even from the book to the movie, but just in general, just the movie. Yeah. But it's fun, and I think that it's very enjoyable to watch with a group of people. So you can leave. I mean, we should have all gone and seen it together. Maybe next time, guys. Because then we could have just been like, oh my god, it's that, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of what I saw with some friends of mine. One of them was Michael Young with the podcast I was on that Frank mentioned. Nerd Soul, check it out. We're just sitting next to each other, and during I'm not going to give it away, but there's a moment where someone comes in with sort of like a trump card in the final battle, and starts to fight the big bad guy. When he verbally says what he wants, what he's going to do, him and I were both like, yo!
Yeah.
loudly out loud in the theater, and then the shit starts to go down, and we're both holding each other like, oh my god!
So, yeah. See, well, and then I did hear a lot of people, I mean, I went, it was Wednesday night in the evening, it was like 7 or so, so it was a good amount of people there, and they were laughing, they were just having a good time, so I think that that's what we all want when we go to the movies. We want to have a good time, whether that means being terrified, or laughing, or just being able to point to things. So it was really, really fun. Yeah, I liked it.
Carrie?
Did you see it?
It's my turn.
Not your turn yet? Okay, no, I'm gonna go ahead. No, I read the book. I read it like a year ago, and then I reread it. My first thing that I was essentially warning people that I'm like, they're super different. Everybody goes, well, adaptations are different. I'm like, no, this feels like a completely different book. Like all the challenges are completely different. Everything is super simplified. Now, I did really enjoy the movie, but like instant, I went to the premiere and instantly it was like record scratch of like, whoo, okay, they've changed a lot. And, like, it's just the basic thing, which you kind of go, okay, fine. Okay, fine. So I was telling people I know, I'm like, all right, it's really fun, but if you've read the book, definitely think, like, it's so different. Like, it's so different that if you watch the movie and read the book, you'll have no idea what really happens. Like, the main parts, sure. But, like, each challenge will be super different. And same thing, book into movie, you'll be like, okay. But that's cool because some parts were really good. The second quest, I think that was a really good change because it was more available to more audiences, which I was like, all right, cool. And that added a lot of humor, and I appreciated that. I like that was probably the one change where I was like, okay, that's maybe almost better. I think one of the things it kind of lacked is the danger and, like, timeline, because this is, like, super short. It's like...
It feels like it's over the span of like a week.
And yeah. I'm like, this is years. This takes some years to solve this puzzle. And I'm like, okay. And I also felt in simplifying everything, it made our characters less cool and less smart. Because I'm like, dude, they have to know so much. They have to be able to solve these puzzles. They have to be able to figure all these things out. So in this, it was more like ability. Like the first one, that's ability. You solve it by smarts, but initially it's... not because you are skilled, it's more like, does that make sense? Of like, they are less special and the chosen ones, if you will, because it's like, oh yeah, anybody could do it. It's like, no, these people, this was their lives. Also, I think the Oasis isn't like shown that, no, everybody like lives there. Like the real world sucks so bad that everybody is there. It felt like it was both. So I'm like, oh, okay. Those are some more really specific things if you've read the book. But yeah, overall it's a super fun ride, but if you've read the book, go in knowing it'll be super different, and then I think it'll still be an awesome ride. And even if you have read the book, or if you haven't read it, I think it's still really fun. And the Ready Player One challenge in LA was kind of cool too, if it's still around. How long? It's almost over, right? It's like the 8th or something. And then
I think it's almost done.
And then, totally not sponsored, but if you want to nerd out and get their stuff, Hot Topic, I got at the challenge, they have a t-shirt, they have the keys as a necklace, and then I have the gates as earrings. Nice. Which they do the keys too. You can't see because my headphones, but I was like, oh, merch. I am so sold. But yeah, I would definitely also recommend everybody read the book after, because it's just so much more nerdy stuff. But yeah.
It's like deep nerd stuff.
Yeah, and it's one of those, some people are just like, oh, there's too much references. I'm like, okay, then it's not
that's
your book.
That's not.
Yeah, I'm like, possible. That's the point. Like some complaints, I'm like, that's the point of the, okay.
It's like a love letter to the 80s.
It is, and it's more about the 80s. The movies was a little more like 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, which is still kind of cool. But, yeah. Or the robot change they made at the end, that was cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I approve. You go, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Right.
Professor Fink, can I go next?
Please, Anthony.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta say, the action, I'm right there with you, Neil, completely blew me away. I was very afraid, since it was all CGI, I wasn't sure if it was going to have the same gravitas as, like, you know, actual action, like practical effects action.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very pleased with the action, I gotta say.
Yes.
That being said, everything else, it was very meh for me. It was very quite the forgettable movie for me, not going to lie. A lot of characters didn't really have too much depth to them. A lot of their, like, emotional gravitas was not there for me at all. Samantha Cook was cool. Ty Sheridan should not be acting. It makes me a little sad that he's going to be our Cyclops, because I'm a little worried about him, not going to lie. Not sure. Maybe I got to give him another shot. I don't know if you guys have a movie where he's better, but he was not great here, in my opinion.
He was fine.
The only real acting I saw from him when he was like, there's the gun scene. I'll just say that. That's about it. Like where you actually saw more of his chutzpah and more of his, like, you actually saw him be alive. The rest of he was just kind of like dead throughout the whole thing, in my opinion. What else? Oh yeah, that voiceover I don't think was unnecessary. Come on, just fucking just show us. Just show us.
No, it should be the narrator, because it's like the book.
No, because then,
it's
but
the
then,
narrator.
But then you get rid of the narration only just to set up the world. Like it's either you keep it or you I don't know. It's just I understand for setting up the world, but it also I feel like Spielberg is such an adept filmmaker that he can show us everything about what the world's going down. Mm-hmm. Like he could say, he could show us while the world's getting worse, people are getting lost in haptic suits and getting lost in this oasis easily. Like just from two cuts, like you can show that. You don't have to tell us everything. But I understand this is also like a, I don't know, what was it rated? PG-13? 13,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, whoa. It's not made for, I guess, my demographics. But yeah, that's about it. I thought it was really forgettable. It was meh.
I thought you would like a couple of the horror changes they made because those aren't in the book.
Oh yeah, the Shining I thought was really great. I'm trying not to think about the book at all.
I'm glaring at you because you...
Something. That was actually my favorite part right there.
Yeah,
that's right. Anthony, what? Stop it's saying the name of the movie.
What? It's too late. It's already out there.
It's too late. It's
oh, gone. Yeah. Whatever.
There you go. As always, folks, there are some spoilers, as we mentioned.
Spoilers, it wasn't spoilers. Us, guys.
It's all right. You got to know when you come in, there could be some spoilers. So
people could just be joining us right now. So that's true. Right. Didn't hear it.
I liked one, a horror reference without saying the name. Some article was like, there's a character later that causes someone to say the F word because it was a review like, is this movie okay for kids? And they were like really breaking it down. And they're like, yeah, there's this horror character that makes someone say the F word. I'm like, that's the greatest way because I'm like, I remember that scene because that was a very specific F bomb. And yep. That character was awesome. That part was like even better.
Yeah.
It's okay, Anthony. We still love you.
I mean, as long as I live myself, I think that's all that matters.
You're like, I'm not going to talk. It's like, stop.
That's right. You don't need anybody else's validation, Anthony. Look at you. You do you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, coming in number two at the box office.
Wait, Frank, didn't you see it?
Oh, I did see it.
Did you see it?
Oh, we're not here to talk about
my
thoughts.
No, we want to hear your thoughts, too.
No, it was fine. I thought, I feel like for a movie like this, it should have had a better title sequence. That was my hot take. That was a pretty dull title.
Yeah.
Title card. You're just going to... do all this really cool stuff, and then you're just gonna throw up a black and white for that. Like, all right, cool. And that the the intro to the stacks, man, what a dud opening that for that movie that was. Just to watch him slowly walk through the stacks. Ugh, that was a snooze intro.
No,
that was. I mean, unless you want to paint that the world is so boring, but it's also, ugh. All right, I don't need to see him like walking down real time.
Ready
this.
Player yawn.
Yeah, there you go.
Someone had, I'd be curious on your thoughts, and then you guys too. The difference between the Oasis and the real world, someone I co-wrote a review with, she was saying if they had made it, like, desaturated such that the Oasis did look that... because it's supposed to be more bright, more clear, more beautiful, and if they had filmed the real world more, like, flat, would that have been a visual benefit to it? I think that could have been cooler. Actually.
I think they were filmed differently. If I remember right, the real world stuff was shot on 35mm film, and then the Oasis was shot on the Arri Alexa, which
but
is
it
a,
still looks pretty and still like in focus. And not
they should take a page
from
the Wachowski brothers and pull a Matrix.
I did really like it was shot on film too.
Mm-hmm.
That gave it a nice little flair to it.
One thing I did like is in terms of just like his memories, where they have almost like a giant library. The way that they interpreted that. I thought that was cool.
That's not in the book, but that was a good change.
Yeah, that made it kind of interesting way to kind of visualize. Good.
It piggybacks on yours thing of like that was a way to learn about Halliday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was really cool.
Yes.
Coming in number two this week was the subject of our box office bet. It was Tyler Perry's Acrimony from Lionsgate. Oh, by the way, Ready Player One, $41.2 million. Acrimony did 17.1. Neil. The hot update on what our box office bet was. That's right.
This is the hottest update you guys will hear all night. It was Acrimony. Frank, you said 17.1, am I right?
That is correct.
We will go from closest to furthest, as is tradition.
I love it.
Okay.
So say we all. The closest one, staggeringly $400,000 off, was Carrie DeLane. With $17.5 million.
Wow, that is really close.
It's very close.
Good for you.
We're all very proud.
Mm-hmm. I'm bowing.
Second place was Amy Cassandra, $13 million.
Cool.
Third place coming in strong and with the bronze medal is Frank Moran, $12 million.
No claps. Nope. There don't need any. That's about me.
Support.
Next in line, barely mentionable, is me, $10 million, with our person who needs to go see the movie. Being Mr. Boothman, Tony B. Tony _ with 8 $1 million.
You can't hate on those Tyler Perry fans, man. They will come through.
What?
Yes.
I gotta say, what a pleasant surprise for this film. Not for me, but I mean, it's okay.
All of these dramas, they're like this vibe that Tyler Perry makes, always get high numbers. Every time. I mean, I don't know how high 17 really is, but in terms of all of his, but
it's pretty high for him, I think.
It's, yeah. There's people that come out for sure.
It's higher than 9. Yeah. That's all we need to know.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
coming in number 3 was Black Panther. That did another $11.2 million. And 4, I Can Only Imagine, still staying strong in the top 5 for another 10.75. And rounding out our top 5, Pacific Rim, making a $9.2 million, a 67.3 drop.
Oof.
Since from its it's debut the week before. Anybody surprised by that big of a drop?
That's a full-on plummet. That's a Batman vs. Superman drop right there.
You surprised or no?
No, I'm not really surprised from what I've heard about the movie, but, you know, it just kind of sucks. It's never really, like, a cool thing when something like that happens, but you know, there you go.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, Stephen DeKnight, I mean, he's a great writer, but still, this was not a really great film, at least for me. So, anybody else see some other films here?
I am starting to make my way through all of the Marvel movies.
Yeah, you're posting those on your stories.
Prepping up?
Yeah, getting ready for Infinity War.
Had you not seen
them? No,
I rewatching.
Had. Just rewatching, cool. Yeah. So it's interesting. It's fun. And I am creating polls on Insta stories, so feel free to cast in your votes for those movies. I'm having fun, though. There's a lot.
What do you do with the winning votes?
Just, you know, I can share them with you guys. A whole lot of nothing. I can share them with you guys because it's the moment you vote, you know the answer. Yes. So, you know, unless you're at the very beginning, then you're like, well, whatever, it could change. But some people have been messaging me and they're like, who are the 4% of people that did not like Avengers? So it's fun. I like hearing your opinions and just join in.
Are you watching them in the order they came out or in the Marvel timeline?
No, in the order they came out.
Okay.
All right.
Period.
there you go. Nice.
Well, I'll piggyback off that. I saw Thor Ragnarok again last night. My first initial viewing was meh. This second come around was like, okay, it's funny, but it's still very meh. I played more attention to the jokes. I was like, okay, but everything else just looks like trash to me. It just looks so bad. Like, you can tell right away everything's CGI. The screens are CGI. The whole scene with Odin, oh, God, it was terrible. I don't know. But maybe it was a smaller budget for a Marvel movie, and they just kind of, like, threw it on the back burner. I don't know what happened. It's a fun movie. It's just, I don't think it's great or good.
Interesting. Neil loves the movie, though. He will talk your ear off. So
that movie frustrates me so much.
Biggest frustration still to this day about that film.
What is it?
What are your biggest frustrations?
Bruce Banner jumping in to save the day at the end, and they turn it into a joke.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Oh, with the bridge?
Mm-hmm. Especially because he was like, I don't know if I'll be able to turn back. If I become the Hulk again, I could be that forever. And that should have been a moment. Agreed. It should have been a big, heartfelt moment that could have slow-moed him becoming the Hulk again, and then going and attacking, was it Fenrir, the wolf?
Mm-hmm.
But no, they turned it into a joke. They hadn't just.
But it was funny.
No,
I had a good time.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
It was the same type of joke.
But you have a really good point, though.
It was the same, and it's sort of like it all just felt like one Taika joke. Taika Waititi, the director, over and over and over and over and over again. He has the same timing and the similar type of punchline, and so when he jumps, it's the same exact amount of time, and then. And then the action moves forward. I'm like, it could have been cool.
Carrie Lane, tight. How about yourself?
I don't remember loving it, but I did think it was fun.
Oh, I saw. Mentioned any other films you may have seen?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm catching up on Jessica Jones. No.
Yes,
I'm
right.
catching up on Jessica Jones.
I still need to finish that.
Though I'm on episode 9, Interest's storyline. I want it to be done.
It gets better.
Cool.
I've heard, but I'm like, Frank's like, it's okay, so guys. Hard to sit through.
You can
it's
see
really
that
hard.
Conversation continue on Marvel TV News.
Mm-hmm. And the Jessica Jones after show, we already wrapped, so.
Look at that.
What?
I did do my due diligence for losing that box office bet last week for Sherlock Gnomes.
Yay!
It was a rough one, guys. Yeah. Probably not the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Hey.
Not, yeah, that's damning it with faint praise there.
Wait, what was that one that you absolutely hated?
Snowman.
The Snowman was rough, but I didn't think I saw that. For,
no, that was
there's that other anime.
Yeah.
It was
Boo 2.
Didn't
you?
Oh, Boo 2 Medea Halloween.
Oh, Dance.
You
hated
that.
Oh, so where's that fall?
This is better than Boo. I just had such a visceral dislike for Boo 2. That was terrible.
Get your gears grinding.
Oh yes. But this one, it's just really just a mediocre film. I'd never seen the first one, so I have no idea if I would have been oh my gosh, this is better or worse than the original. I can't say.
You should.
Do you feel like you're missing out on vital character information or emotional context?
No, but I also don't know if I want to see two gnomes who are married now decide to hit marital strife and try to work their way through that. Is that the movie I really want to see? Not really.
The first one's cute.
No, all right.
That was funny. For people who've watched the show for a while, Leap is now on Netflix and is added to my queue because that was one I didn't ever see, but it's on my queue now. I was like, oh, it's there. Oh, Storks? Someone brought that up too?
Yeah, actually, I enjoyed...
Well, you like Storks.
I enjoyed Storks more than I thought I was going to.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. It was great to walk into the theater and see. I think it was only six other people with mostly kids and their adults. And then there's just me, just the dude walking in. Hey, everybody. I'm here to watch this weirdo movie with you guys. slide over. Hope we get... I made sure to sit right next to him.
Of course.
Was that anywhere else in that wide open theater? I was like, no. I'll sit right with you guys. The animation's fine. The voices stuff is just kind of okay, cool.
Mm.
They do a nice thing with. It's your typical just kind of generic action. Have to get somebody else out of danger kind of story. Like if you've seen a million of these kind of oh my gosh, somebody's in danger, we got to save them kind of action adventure movies, then you know the beats of this. They do something with Sherlock Gnomes where anytime he does his mind is he's kind of imagining all the scenarios and stuff. They do it kind of on a black and white hand drawn thing, which is kind of cool. But Mary J. Blige shows up for a hot second. Maggie Smith and Michael Caine are hot second voices in there. Yeah.
All
so
right.
Yeah, there you go. That was it. Like
okay.
That's great.
They must have had I guess owed a favor to one of the producers or something, lost a bet or something. They come in, they just we'll do a couple lines and then we'll speak no more of this, right? Okay, cool. So yeah, Sherlock Gnomes. That was a time in the theater that I watched that movie. I don't think we'll be seeing a third, so that'll be a shame.
Aww, darn.
That will be truly a shame.
Until you said that, I thought this one was the third one.
Quick thing with the international numbers here. Ready Player One. With what amounts to 85% of its international footprint stomping across the globe, has grossed $128 million in 62 territories. Warner Brothers enjoyed its biggest weekend ever in China, where it opened to $61.7 million on its 18,200 screens. And that's one territory where it has enjoyed a high score of 9.2, accounted for more than half of its screens as a virtual reality film based on the Ernest Cline book. Played on more than 35,600 screens this weekend overseas. The global tally is 181.3 million, and it was the number one film in North America.
Woo!
Yeah,
there were some big international numbers for that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of those properties that they kind of touch are just like they hit that nostalgia button for everybody worldwide. Mm-hmm. So easy thing to be able to dial into foreign audiences as well.
Yep.
Get yourself a Zemeckis cube and go. Watch some of that stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right. Beauty and the Beast is past, Black Panther's past Beauty and the Beast to claim the all-time number 11 spot on the global stage with a $1,273.9 million.
Wow.
It'll soon surpass Frozen to take its place in the top 10 global performers of all time.
They let it go.
Wow. Nicely done.
Thank you.
All right.
No, not kidding.
So folks, we've got three films vying for your box office vote next week. We've got Blockers.
I'm crossing
Quiet Place, A Quiet Place, A Quiet Place, A Quiet Place.
The Kate Cannon, next directorial film from Universal with John Cena. There you go. leading the charge.
John Cena!
There you go. You got to do your...
go.
Yeah, that's right.
Does he do that?
Yeah.
You can't see me.
We got Chappaquiddick, Thriller from Entertainment Studios, 1500
more like
screens.
Chappaquiddick.
And A Quiet Place. John Krasinski. Directed and starred with his wife Emily Blunt, Thriller from Paramount on 3200 screens. Those three films vying for your box office bet vote. They're in the chat, so start chiming away there. But in the meantime, we'll do a little box office rewind of somebody upcoming in one of these weekend's films. And I thought we'd do, why don't we do Leslie Mann?
Oh. Great choice, by the way.
Thanks, Amy, Cassandra, Martinez.
You're welcome.
Coming to number five for her was Funny People from Universal, back from 2009, $22.6 million. This is like my definition of like a Shaggy Dog movie, where there's just a lot of just like, a lot of fluff, a lot of too much stuff on
that this. Movie funny had people? Four acts
yeah.
and it Wait, needed three.
People? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even remember.
Oh, that's Adam Sandler, where he thinks he's dying.
And it's Seth Rogen, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. who is his assistant slash like joke writer.
There you go,
Jonah and Ray. It has an ending,
yeah.
and then it just keeps happening, and then it gets more awkward and stupid. And I'm like, well, I'm at the theater for 4 hours now.
It feels like the story just like walked through a hallway blindfolded with the lights off, and just somehow got to the end. It's just never that movie never feels like it found its footing into like what it was trying to do.
Yeah.
It was like a jumbled mess, unfortunately.
Coming in number four, 17 again from Woo! Warner Brothers, back also in 2009.
That was
cute.
That was surprisingly really good.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
It was just like, and Zac Efron, that one scene where he's pretend reading that letter, I was like, okay, I like you. I mean, before that, he wasn't doing that much.
But now he's doing a lot.
He's doing a lot. I mean, like, whatever. I loved High School Musical back in
and
the day.
And he has one episode on Firefly. Deep cut.
Hey, good for him.
Come on, but Amy. Gotta get your head in the game.
Gotta.
He was Steve R. in Disaster Artist.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that made $23.7 million. Number three, The Other Woman from 2014, $24.7 million.
Oh,
I never saw
that. Yeah, that was nice.
All right.
Wait, Pretty Woman?
The Other Woman.
Oh, got it.
I don't think I know that one.
I'd like to see that. I wish they could go back in time and put that on the promotional material. That was nice.
It was nice. Like, some of my friends back in Texas, they were like, that was really, really fun. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Watch it. It's nice. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Right. There you go.
Nice.
Coming in number two, Knocked Up from 2007, $30.6 million. Carrie Lane loves that film.
No.
Cannot get enough of Katherine Heigl.
No, she's fine. I just thought the plot is stupid. I don't think it's funny of like, oh, someone got pregnant and now we're going to do something. I'm like, no, that's not funny.
It was okay.
I'm not a huge Katherine Heigl fan. She does not.
What? That's
me.
Shocking.
I'm not a giant Judd Apatow fan.
Yeah.
He's hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
And when he's miss, he's like, miss.
Miss hard.
But I've heard really good things about the big documentary for Gary Shandling currently airing on HBO. So that he put together. So check that out. You know, maybe you might just at least volume him for that, Neil.
Maybe.
All right. And coming at number one, Big Daddy from 1999, $41.5 million.
Love Big Daddy.
Was that, I think, the last good Adam Sandler film?
Yes.
No. Mr. Deeds.
Come on.
I like Mr. Deeds. Right.
Mr. Deeds Night.
Drunk Love? When was that at? Have you guys seen that?
Drunk Love gave me a heart attack.
That movie's so good, though.
But I guess, like, one of the...
God.
I'm glad you're here.
That's, like, the best Adam Sandler acting, like, I've seen.
I guess I'm speaking more to the last Adam Sandler kind of joint, where it's
like,
gonna...
Like Happy Gilmore production.
Yes.
Yeah, Happy Madison production. Yeah.
Well, then that would be... what's the one with
Little Nicky?
Kevin James?
Ew. Little Nicky wasn't horrible.
But it was terrible.
No.
Big Daddy was fun.
Yeah, that was good.
I really liked it.
I feel like that was the last time I really enjoyed an Adam Sandler like fronted production. Yeah. Where you're like, oh, Adam, what have you done? That Little Nicky voice. Oh, that movie, just holy cow.
He had to hold his face in the right place, and every time he talked, it was just so... It's so ridiculous.
Or it's just the one that was several years back, where he played himself and his twin sister.
Jack and Jill.
Where Al Pacino is obsessed with the female version. Oh,
they shot that on a cruise ship, per his request, And he brought all of his friends and family so they could have a free cruise.
It's like grown-ups, where they're like, let's go film in Hawaii.
Chat room is saying, Click.
Click.
Click was good.
Click was,
50 First States was good. I like that one.
I love 50 First States.
50 First States was pretty good.
That was really cute.
Oh, I love 51st States.
That one's not too bad.
Yeah, that one, what was it? Sandy Wexler film, I believe. You guys remember that? He was like an agent in Hollywood.
Oh, that came out on Netflix last year.
I heard that was decent. And I did see some of that, not going to lie.
And I didn't see that Western they did on Netflix.
Oh, the Ridiculous Six.
Yeah.
Oh, I did see that. That was horrible. That was stupid. But, I mean, I had a fun time.
Well, I didn't watch it.
I ate popcorn and it was dumb, but... You know, that's what it's about. You sort of understand that.
All right. So, folks, before we do our box office bet, we got to do our top five for next week. So, of course, we've got Blockers on 3,300 screens from Universal Comedy. We've also got The Quiet Place from Paramount, 3,200 screens. Chappaquiddick from Entertainment Studios, a small 1,500 screens. A little bit more of a niche film. I don't feel like that's going to be cracking our top five.
I feel like I'm never going to see that movie.
Which one? Just
Chappaquiddick. Looks that's boring. Fun to say, though.
Do we see anything dethroning Ready Player One?
Quiet Place.
Maybe.
I mean, I think Quiet Place could be a fun movie, but I don't know if it's going to
be number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it has enough hype for it, really, or the marketing's there for it. I'm just, like, super hyped for it, so I'm just, like, on that bandwagon for those of you out there who are on it as well.
I can see that being, like, a slow burn, so it could stick around for a while.
Blockers, maybe, because it's like zany comedy that there hasn't been one of those.
I've actually heard really good things about it.
That trailer, it looks very hit or miss. I'm like, it's going to be really funny or really annoying.
I'm ready to watch it. I'm
I just like, technically, there should be a picture there, because then I'm like, oh, I get it. I get it. At first, I'm like, oh.
I'm going to go Ready Player One, Blockers, Quiet Place, Acrimony. And I'm going to say Black Panther, then, running out of top five.
Agreed.
Solid. I think I agree with that, too.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I'll change is you're not going to give Quiet Place the bump and think it'll beat out Blockers?
No, because John Cena has way too many people.
That's true.
Like, you know how many grown... like old grown people like that watch wrestling loves John Cena.
Like, wow, that's his demo. Old grown people?
Is that the same and also, demo that's going to go see Blockers?
Well, it's the only people that can go see Blockers because the children can't go see Blockers because they're too young.
Teenagers.
Isn't we'll it find rated R?
It is.
Yeah, it's rated R. Boom.
I don't know. If anything, I think it's going to be all the Make-A-Wish kids that he went and visited are going to go see Blockers. Because who's going to say no?
Yeah.
Mom, I want to see this rated R film. It has John Cena, my hero. Okay.
Yeah, Quiet Place has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm going to change up and do Ready Player One, Quiet Place, Blockers, then the Acrimony, and Black Panther.
You just took Sky Patterson's vote, which is pretty funny.
I saw that, I'm like, I just want to swap the two.
You know, when I keep seeing these commercials, though, I mean, where it's all hyping up, you know, this film, Blink, has got, 100% certified fresh and Rotten Tomatoes. That does nothing to compel me to go see that movie.
Oh, nothing. Yeah.
I don't know why they keep hyping this in their
commercials. It makes me feel good about myself if I already have plans to see the movie, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's their goal, but that's how it makes me feel. Mm.
I think there are people out there that are like, I need to check the Rotten Tomatoes score. So we're not those people, but that's who they target, I think.
Mm-hmm. Hot take, my five... I'm going to say Quiet Place number one.
Ooh. Hell yeah, I like it. I like it.
I'm going to say Quiet Place number one, and then I'm going to say Blockers.
Ooh.
Ready Player One, Acrimony, Black Panther.
I could see that.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I wish I had the heart to go with that one.
You don't have the heart to answer.
I know. I know.
Well, like... I think if RPO has a decent 50 drop, then we're looking at like 20 and a half.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Neil, I love the courage of your conviction.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to do our box office bet on the film that you've chosen in the chat.
All right, chat, lay it on us.
And that film is going to be what Anthony will tell us in a moment.
But any movie will do.
That's right. But in the meantime, the box office bet, we're all going to vote on whatever you have voted on in the chat about what we think the actual box office gross will be for its opening weekend. Person that's closest to it will get the praise of being the prognosticator of prognosticators. The loser we'll get this thing of having to go see that film and tell us all about it.
All right. So Ken Jack coming through. Yes. I believe he says Blockers 1.
Blockers!
Interesting!
That was great.
All right. So Blockers. John Cena. Leslie Mann.
You're number one for that.
Look at that. 3,300 screens from Universal.
Two.
All right.
What the heck?
So right now we've got, of course, Ready Player One made 41.5. If it has a 50, you know, it's going to be a little over 20.
That would be third. No.
If it goes down 50.
Yes, if it went down 50.
No, I don't know.
All right, so this is going to be...
Ken Jack says 16.
Although this doesn't seem like a bad movie to watch.
Solnado says 11. Star Drew says 13.
All right. Okay. I got mine.
Okay.
We'll see. I won't mind having to see this one, so if I...
Shakalaka is 15.
Yeah, I feel like this is the one I'm going to watch this weekend because Phil really wants to watch it.
Sky says 15.5.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to watch that.
He's like, I'm going to see it too.
Yeah, that's a given. Please.
No, okay.
Yeah, I want to try to watch both.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which one will you see first?
Oh, for sure, Quiet Place if I can.
No.
Yeah, I don't give a damn.
Don't equivocate. Don't say if I can. You got to be... Let's be definitive.
No, I'm going to see A Quiet Place. First.
Paul Jones says 12. Jesse Bloom says 17. Yusuf
All right,
says
15. I got my number.
Yeah. All right. Everybody else locked in?
I'm locked in.
Yep.
All right. Anthony, lay it on us.
I'm going to give it a steady 25 minutes.
Ooh. All right. Ooh. Very nice. Very nice.
That's just going off my gut. I didn't really...
What I like to see is whenever Anthony puts out that first number, you can always gauge how Amy feels about hers by the way her eyes just bug out.
It's like 25 million.
This is true.
There you go.
Chat room's doing a lot lower, though, so...
All right. Yep. What do you got, Neil?
It sounds just like Anthony's, but there's a decimal point. It's 20.5.
Oh, snap. Damn.
Amy Cassandra Martinez.
16.
Oh, all right.
So ball.
19.
Ooh.
Ooh, I went, get over, open up for me, please.
I get the highest.
I went 18.
Oh, damn.
Oh, that's okay.
That's there a pretty tight.
Okay. I'm going to see it.
Bracket.
That's okay.
I'm going to see it.
That's
fun.
Okay,
I'm
still everybody.
Close. Well, there. It's close. Well,
it's okay.
It's not winning, going. Though.
I want you to do that. Way more times, Frank. Please do it.
Yeah, it's okay, everybody. It's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it is okay for us to end the show as well.
Nice.
But you know what? Before we do, one thing we want to do is we've been trying to educate you about our impassioned opinions about box office. But you know what? There's somebody else that can help you out in all aspects of life, and that is our delightful founder of AfterBuzz TV Studios, Maria Menounos. She's got a new podcast called Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. It drops every single Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. So you know what you can do? You can go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Look at that. Huh. Pass the savings right on to you. And when you do, let her know it was the people from Box Office Breakdown here in Popcorn Talk that got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out. And as always, folks, as we wrap up the edition of Box Office Breakdown, thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Mm-hmm. As always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a bunch of thumbs up while you're there. And if you're watching after we stream live, Carrie Lane has got something important that you need to do.
Yes, well, this will tie into the prize. So, I post on my social media where you can see it up close, but I have Oasis nail wraps to give you guys from Espionage Cosmetics. Leave a comment down below on Ready Player One. Even if you haven't seen it, you can say you want to see it. And if you have seen it, say what you thought about it. No spoilers. And then we will pick a winner randomly and mail you those nail wraps.
We all will do that together. We'll all go and lick the envelope together.
Oh.
And we'll all carry the envelope to a mailbox
a group,
and deposit it all
a group
together.
Enveloping.
Yep, that's right. We'll
each
lick
a quarter. We'll all sign the envelope for you.
Aww.
Oh, my gosh.
There we go. That'd be adorable.
That's
collector's
sweet.
Item. And if you want to continue the conversation with any of us after the show's over, Neil Plumley, where can they find you?
Thanks for asking, Frank. You people at home can find me where people are found at the Neil Plumley. That's Theneil Plumley. Amy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez. You can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MT. Oh, dang it. MTZ.
Nailed it.
Good recovery.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Whatever. and yeah, just feel free to follow me on Instagram. I have created a lot of polls, so feel free to join in on those.
Nice. And they're fun. I've done them.
And I appreciate your vote.
I've never done one. You should. I never will.
Do it.
My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And you can see the pictures I posted of these. And by the way, they glow in the dark, which is super cool.
Anthony, how about the work and the folks find you?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
He's
Anthony,
like,
Anthony passed away.
Oh, sorry. The music stopped. Oh, I was trying to get that going.
That was really scary.
You can find me everywhere at Tony B. Tony underscore Tony B. The capital B or just letter B. Tony underscore. And if you guys like the Popcorn Talk Network as well as some horror movies, we actually do horror movie news, Carrie and I, and we'll be discussing A Quiet Place and I'll be nerding out about it. Definitely can't contain my excitement. So.
I like that. And I like just the qualification of just some horror movies. You don't have to like all of them, just some. And you can enjoy that show.
Just the good ones, yeah.
There you go. Folks, like me or don't, or I don't know, whatever. Yeah, follow me or don't. Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. You know, whatever. You already know how you feel about that decision. All right, folks, we'll catch you back here next Sunday night with another edition of the Box Office Breakdown. My likes and my follows are dwindling rapidly.
Spit out your gum.
See you guys.
Right here on Popcorn Talk. Bye, everybody. Go see some movies.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.